This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world.
Well, today we've got a real power player with us, John B. Alexander. Dr. Alexander, you may know his name, is a retired senior Army officer. He's had decades of experience, but for an Army officer, you wouldn't necessarily think that this is the sort of experience he would have. However, he has met with shamans in the Amazon, the Himalayas, the Andes, East and West Africa, Northern Mongolia, in Tonga. He dived in open ocean with humpback whales. He was involved in telepathic experiments with wild dolphins in the Bahamas. He is a true psychic adventurer. He's practiced psychokinetic metal bending. He's been a firewalker, and fortunately, he succeeded in that. He's done so much. It's incredible. What a life John Alexander has had. We've known each other for years. He's been on Dreamland before, and subscribers, you can listen to some of his previous visits to Dreamland. Absolutely fascinating stuff. A truly remarkable man. John, welcome to Dreamland.
Morning, Whitley. Glad to be with you.
Well, good. Well, John, let's just dive right into it. What he's got here is a book called Reality Denied, First-Hand Experience with Things That Can't Happen But Did, which is sort of defined. John, I remember, incidentally, I meant to ask you this. Were you ever at my cabin? I seem to remember seeing you there at one point.
No, I don't believe you. You're talking about Northern New York?
In upstate New York, yeah. You weren't there, were you?
I visited many places, but not there.
Not there. Okay. All right. I guess we did meet one time in Texas when I was living down there, and you went over to the Southwest Research to work on a friction-free surface that Dr. Bill Mallow was developing.
And a great barbecue place.
Yeah, we sure did, didn't we? That was a great evening. We had a lot of fun. Okay, now, I thought we would start. This book is just chock-a-block with all kinds of absolutely fascinating experiences. And what I want to do, John, is I want to start by asking you, how in the world do you go into the United States Army and end up swimming with dolphins in the Bahamas? What's the connection here?
Well, I'm not sure they're directly related, but I've always said, people have asked if I've had an epiphany or some major change, and my response is no. It's more like steering an aircraft carrier, if you will, kind of a gradual shift. That said, I've always been interested in phenomena. In fact, in UFOs, I remember giving the first talk. I went to a very unique grade school, and they had a radio station internally. And in 1947, I actually gave one of my first talks on radio about UFOs. So the interest has always been there, and opportunity has just continually presented itself.
Well, yeah, and then that's it. The interest, you have been willing to travel in these realms and dimensions. And I remember when you went down to Brazil and met John of God, and you took Annie and I couldn't go because she was not able to travel those distances at the time. She was pretty sick, and you took a picture of her. And tell about the experience with John of God.
So we have visited him in Abidênia, Brazil, a couple of times. I might mention the first time that we went down, 2006, there were a couple of hundred people there. The last time, and the incident we're talking about, there were literally thousands of people from all over the world. And absolutely amazing healings that have taken place up to and literally including raising the dead. We can talk about that one separately, and I do address it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one separately. Go ahead.
But no, he's a very famous healer. No, he does not claim that he does anything himself. He always says that there are spirit entities, spiritual activities that work through him, and that he has a number of discarnate entities that assist him in the thing. Now, he does surgery in some cases, which literally opening the body up, no doubt about it's not folds of the skin, pushed over and chicken guts or anything. He also scrapes eyeballs, which is kind of interesting. And I've got other photos where I saw him take.
Well, wait a minute. When you say scrapes eyeballs, I think I'm not alone in wanting to have that explained.
Yeah. Well, he actually takes a knife. By the way, none of these are particularly sterile. And scrapes on the eyeball, the thesis being that the eyes are the window to the soul, and that you can affect changes physically by scraping on the eyes. I was also mentioning his forceps that I saw him take, that 6 to 8 inches long. And a picture in the book is up the individual's nose, well into the brain cavity, and, not too gentle, and comes back. In all cases, there's no evidence of pain from the individuals. I might add, there's never been a case of sepsis, even though they don't use sterile procedures. But he also has spiritual healing, in which either he or the discarnate entities actually go and can visit the individual at some distance. And as you said, you gave me a picture, and there are many locations around the casa there. And what I did was to take Ann's picture and place it in there and pray over it. And then I sent you a message, and you can relay how you responded.
Yeah, well, she did get considerably better for a while. There was a noticeable change, and I didn't realize at the time that you were doing it, and then it faded. It didn't last, and eventually, but within a few months, she was worse off than she had been before. That's my experience.
Right, and when we get into the issues of healing, and he talks about this at great length. One of the things I might add is there's a room down there that's full of wheelchairs and braces and a number of, medical implements. And, these are people who have been healed. Having said that, as I said, thousands of people there, everybody who came in a wheelchair left in a wheelchair. And the question in my mind, from a medical perspective, is why is it that some people get healed and others don't? Why is it, as in the case of Anne, you see temporary improvement, but not ones that hold over time? Unfortunately, our medical society just does not even accept the possibility of spiritual intervention. And I think it's an area that needs to be studied. Across the room, I might add, one of my things is that when we talk about these psychic events and whatnot, we are looking at things that are at least as complex as AIDS or cancer, and yet the amount of research done in the area is minuscule.
Yeah, it is. And that's one of the points that we make in Jeff Kreifel and I make in our book Supernatural, that these are phenomena. They're measurable and identifiable as phenomena. But for some reason, we don't study them rationally. We become irrational when it comes to these phenomena, and that's completely unnecessary. Now, when we get back, we're going to go a little deeper, to say the least, in this area. And subscribers, stay right with us. John's book is Reality Denied. His website is johnbalexander.com, johnbalexander.com. A guy who has spent his life in high areas of very high adventure, some of them surprising and improbable, as we will find out. Well, the only commercial you're going to hear this week is about the afterlife revolution. It's getting great reviews on Amazon. People are picking it up. They're loving it, and they should love it because it's a wonderful book. Ann and I wrote it together. Dr. Gary Schwartz was inspired to write a great foreword for it. One of the leading experts in afterlife research is confirming that the book's got something to it. Mitch Horowitz, my editor at Tarcher Penguin, wrote a beautiful blurb about it, and there's a reason those reviews are so good. It's a lovely, lovely book. $3.99 on the Kindle, $11.99 paperback. An audiobook will be available shortly. It is really worth your time. Now, next week on Dreamland, we start our year-end show, 2 weeks running. Subscribers and non-subscribers get to listen to the whole program. We have 8 guests, lots of Dreamlanders you're familiar with, Linda Moulton Howe, Grant Cameron, Marla Friis, Peter Lavenda also. Gary Schwartz talks about just how he did the research that went into showing that the contact with Anne is real. Jeff Kreifel, my beloved co-author from Supernatural, will be there. We have a new guest, Diana Walsh-Pasulka, and she's got something very, very extraordinary to tell you. In fact, they all do. This is all of their new work, and it's an absolutely terrific year-end show. So enjoy 2 hours of great Dreamland over the holidays. I love you very much. Thank you for listening to this program and for patronizing unknowncountry.com. We're back. Dr. John Alexander's book is Reality Denied. His website is johnbalexander.com. And we're going to be talking about things like out-of-body travel, near-death experiences, the question of whether or not life after death exists. And John spent some time with a good friend of mine, Dr. Gary Schwartz, who recently wrote a foreword for the book I have written with my wife, Anne, Afterlife Revolution, because she came back. John, I want to go now to the question of, for example, I think the best way to start in this whole area is to go to the mediums. You've met a lot of mediums in your life, and some of these stories that in the book are really remarkable. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, well, you've met John Edward, but I wondered if you would talk a little bit about Suzanne Geisman.
Oh, yes, I had a chance to meet her. She's most amazing because, unlike many of the other mediums who have done these things throughout their life, where they started as children having mystical experiences, she did not. She's actually a retired senior naval officer in her own right and was the spokesperson for the chief of staff of the Navy and then for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, so had interactions with the most senior levels of government, and says never had any mystical experiences during that entire time. After she retired, as she was married to a naval captain, and they both retired, they were out sailing, and the captain's daughter, obviously from a previous marriage, who was in the Marine Corps, was actually walking across the tarmac at a naval air station and was struck by lightning and killed. And because of that incident, Suzanne got involved in trying to contact her and was then later actually trained at an institute in the UK, and seems to have some just very remarkable experiences.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about some of them?
Well, she started actually by writing a book by a good friend of mine who recurs in my book, Anne Gaiman, who herself was quite a psychic, but she was one that had lifelong experiences. She wrote the book on Anne's experience, and from that became more actively involved, but seems to have the ability to contact with discarnate entities and provide information that is independently verifiable but would not have been known to her at the time. She has an active website and puts out periodic videos about her contact. You can actually watch her do it on her site. And that it's just amazing. Like you say, she's really, particularly coming, like I did, from the military background, the requirement to have independent verification. And by the way, you mentioned Gary Schwartz, who has his dream team that I talk about, but he is one who has validated the experiences of Suzanne as well.
Yeah, he wrote the foreword to The Afterlife Revolution, our book, and what he did was one of those double-blind medium tests, which are so amazing. And Anne just aced it. She was there, all right. Tell us a little bit about your experience with
him. Well, I think that you might explain a little bit further when you say Anne was there. I think the audience needs to understand that was in a discarnate state, right?
Oh, yeah. Anne was there. When I say that so forcefully, it's because she seems so immediately real to me now. But, you know, when I say that, I mean that she was the way this works is this, folks. Gary contacts a medium with a first name and nothing else. And the medium then tries to read the person who is involved. And then Gary grades the medium's responses based on the knowledgeable person's information. In that case, would be me with Anne. So the medium got the name Anne, and that's all she got. And I don't know the medium. This is all anonymous at this point. So, and then it was obvious from what the medium said that not only was Anne present in spiritual state, but she was carefully communicating things to the medium that you could not explain any other way. She's very good at that, and she knows how skeptical I am, because she is too, or was, and she's lived with me for 45 years. And so she always sets these things up in such a way that they are undeniable. So that's, I don't want to go into that anymore, because we're talking about your book today,
well,
not my book.
But there's a link here to what we discussed earlier, John of God.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a famous Brazilian psychic called Chico Xavier. And if anybody's interested, if you check that out, you can find a movie about his life on the internet. But he was very famous to the point of actually having his own television program. And what's interesting is he produced about 450 books, all of which were psychographs, i.e. they were supposed to be information communicated by discarnate entities through him. And a couple of years ago, University of São Paulo did a study where some of these discarnate entities were known from their life in physical form. And what they did is they took one of these, and there were a series of letters that were dictated through Chico, supposedly from these entities. And so they took his prior writings and compared it with the psychographs that Chico had written out. And what they found was a 98% accuracy, and the other 2% was not false. It just could not be verified. So you have, you know, ostensibly direct communication, independently verified. I might mention one of the things about I find interesting in Brazil. We can talk about belief system. You know, in the West, we are highly materialistically oriented. And in Brazil, you have people who have educated in similar educational institutions and philosophies, and yet accept these spiritist belief systems and can integrate them in ways that we tend not to here in the U.S. and in Europe.
Yeah, and but and they we don't at all. We reject them. And this is a Ann calls it locked expectations. We have locked expectations about the world around us, and we just lock out anything that doesn't fit those expectations, and that's why we don't see enough. We're kind of half blind. But that's not true in Brazil.
Maybe more than half.
Maybe more than half, yeah. But that's actually not true in Brazil.
Right.
Yeah, and why would that be, do you think?
Well, there are cultural differences. That even though their educational systems are highly oriented on, you know, Western models, certainly, and very intelligent people, and the people I tend to deal with down there, I should make it clear, most of my trips down there are not specifically oriented towards psychic phenomena, but rather I deal with very high levels in the government and what I call my real world, if you will, or straight world, on matters of national, international security. And so I'm dealing with senior generals, people from ministers at the governmental level and folks like that. And they just have had these experiences, and it's inculcated into the society and totally acceptable. Whereas here, we look at it as if it were something strange, unusual, or weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, you know, we've come already 20 minutes into the show. We're going to take another brief break for our free Dreamlanders. We'll be right back with John Alexander. John Alexander's new book is Reality Denied. His website, johnbalexander.com. That's johnbalexander.com. Interesting foreword by Yuri Geller to the book, and you have known Yuri for a long time. He's been on Dreamland before, folks, and if you want to get some of the Yuri Geller shows, subscribe to the Dreamland, subscribe to Unknown Country, excuse me, and search for Yuri Geller, and you will get some fascinating stuff. We've had some good times together. John, can you tell us a little bit about your experience with Yuri?
Yes. Well, as you know, we used to teach spoon bending, which is actually based on Uri Geller, but was further developed by Jack Hauk, an aerospace engineer at McDonnell Douglas. I use one of the most unusual experiences, verifiable, actually took place in the U.S. Capitol itself. And this is still the bad old days, meaning Soviet Union was still intact, and there were problems with Jews who wanted to immigrate from the Soviet Union to Israel. And so he had come to talk primarily about that topic. And present were senators and a few congressmen and mostly staffers. And I was sitting in the front row because I suspected something could happen. And, of course, everybody said, bend something, and he goes, well, I haven't got anything to bend. And so they literally went out. We were in a secured environment with a guard outside, and they went and they got the spoon out of the guard's coffee cup, which I think is important because it means there was no way that there was any preparation of the spoon itself. He held the spoon by the bowl and took one finger from above. At no point did the neck of the spoon disappear, which is a pretty good indication that it's a fake. And he bent it, he brought it down, and the spoon bent upwards, i.e. against the direction of any particular force. It was very minimal touching, if any. He then placed the spoon on the back of the chair, and he went back to talking about what he was interested in. The spoon continued to bend and then fell on the floor and ended up in my pocket, and I still have it.
In your pocket? How did that feel?
Like I said, I just was taking advantage of the situation. But as I say, I still, in fact, I'm looking at it right now. I can have it posted.
That's very, very cool, I must say. Now,
I might add, contrary to popular belief, we have had magicians involved, and yes, there are ways to fake it, and I think we know most of them. This was actually described to Randy without me telling him who the perpetrator was.
Oh,
and
you mean
he goes,
Randy?
Oh,
wait.
$1 million, you know, because.
You mean Randy? When you say that, you mean James Zwingle, the guy that goes as the name by the name Amazing Randy? Okay, yeah, I understand. Go ahead.
But the point was that, you know, when I described the situation as they very closely observed it, he agreed that it, now he did not see the spoon or anything, but that the incident as described would not have been fake.
Yeah, but I've seen those videos of Randy attempting to bend spoons, and he's not really very good at it. It's very obvious that he's faking it.
If you see fingers go around the neck of the spoon or both sides, it's probably faked.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I have had professional magicians involved.
You know, Ann and I were once discussing this in our house in San Antonio, when we were living in San Antonio. And about an hour later, she said, look at this. And there was one of the spoons, not a silver spoon, fortunately, but one of the stainless steel spoons in the kitchen cabinet was bent. We didn't try to bend it. We weren't thinking about bending it. The subject came up, I think, because we were talking about having Uri Geller on Dreamland or something like that. And the spoon bent kind of on its own. Because no spoon had been bent in that kitchen. We had a big open plan kitchen sitting area where we had the studio on one side and the dining and kitchen area was on the other. And Anne had not been in the kitchen, neither had I. So,
well, I am going to go out on a limb and guess here, but if people were listening to the program, quite often they will call in and talk about items either bending or watches beginning that have been stuck for years and suddenly begin operating again. And these are physical watches now, back in the old wind-up days.
Yeah, exactly. So, folks, you might look around in your house to see if anything like this has happened. But if it's a good spoon, don't blame me or John. Don't blame either one of us. Now, let me ask you, there's a very interesting chapter in here called Go to Hell. And I was fascinated by some of the stories in it. And rather than going directly to it, I thought I would ask you about someone in the context of this part of the discussion, about someone like Janet. And what she could do and how that, because she, it's more than, you know, she moved a planchette all over the place. She could also access past lives. And she just had a different relationship to data. That's what you're driving at in this chapter.
Well, there are two things. We had done a lot of work with what you'd call automatic writing. And one of the things I described, they were using a planchette, which we might describe. This is kind of like what you use on the Ouija board.
Right.
Except that the rear area has ball bearings on it so it can move, and then they put a pen on the front. So you're actually writing as opposed to pointing two letters, which is a rather laborious approach to it. And I would watch, and she would just, you know, this absolute scribbling, covering an entire page, and then all of a sudden there would be a couple of deaf marks, and the whole picture would come into clarity, describing something. Now, the incident that you described was most interesting. Long and about, you have to read the whole story, but the point was that at the critical juncture, we're sitting in a room of a very unique house, in which the center room had no doors or windows to the outside. And we had had kind of an experience where she'd been literally physically beaten by a ghost upstairs, and there had been a homicide, and that piece of it we did know. We had not known about the death of another individual that was picked up on. And so she's writing, just getting messages, just kind of generic. And all of a sudden, when the inner door swings open, the handwriting changes dramatically and says, "Go to hell."
Right.
And then the door slams closed again. So if you're going to say the door was beveled and swung, you know, it might swing one way, but not the other. And again, there was no egress or access to the outside, so there were no wind currents that could have blown it like that. But it was quite traumatic to watch.
Well, you know, I've had a number of situations where I have entered the world of the dead myself, and it's absolutely amazing because you don't realize that you're not physical. You feel physical. And I've been chased out twice, in both times I've entered, in fact, by what looked like very angry people. And so I understood immediately what that go to hell was all about.
Yeah. It certainly got our attention. I'll say that was very different from any of the other work we had done over the year.
Well, what do you think it means?
Well, in this case, a lot of it may have been related to an incident that happened. There was an individual who had been involved in a fight and beaten severely, and the police report on that when he died. But what the information she had ascertained was there was actually a second beating, and that was the one that was fatal. That was not reported, and we think that there was a very angry, discarnate entity who did not want people probing the incident or the area.
And just didn't want anyone around, and maybe was harboring some guilt or anger.
I might mention the reason we arrived at this house to begin with. This is in Phenix City, Alabama, which is across from Columbus, Georgia, because there was a family who was there who had some young children and said they kept seeing literally heads floating around that were, again, discarnate and scared them pretty badly, and they were interested in, you know, getting information about the, you know, whatever might be causing it. I might mention, though, at the end, people talked about doing kind of a cleansing, if you will, and they decided, no, that they actually, in the end, didn't mind that, you know, a house, a haunted house without ghosts is just a house.
Right. It's a house. A haunt, but, you know, it's filled with memories. There's a wonderful movie out. You can probably stream it now, folks, called, I believe, A Ghost Story, which features ghosts who are simply people under sheets in the movie. And so you see these entities under sheets. But it is like a journey through the whole experience of the afterlife as it often relates to this world for people who have not finished here. It's quite remarkable. Free Dreamlanders, we got to say goodbye. I wish I didn't have to say goodbye to each one of you personally, because we're going to go a lot deeper now. We're going to get into the process of entering the spirit world, which is something I've done more and more lately. And we're going to talk about out-of-body experiences, NDEs. Of course, Anne had an epical NDE in 2004, and we're going to go down some very interesting new paths in the direction of higher knowledge. We're talking to Dr. John Alexander, his book Reality Denied, his website johnbalexander.com. Reality Denied is really full of all kinds of mind-opening information. Now, John is a man who has been on a high adventure for a long time now. You know, I mean, John has really been there and done that. And you will find in this book affirmation of a kind that will strengthen your own ability to get past what Anne calls locked expectations and open yourself to a new world, which is actually the real world.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host. And I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander. Thank you for listening.